الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in a previous class we had read the first and the second question and answer that the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى. The first question is about the greatest obligation, and the first is about the greatest requirements. Is about the greatest requirement and the first obligation upon the servants, and that is to know the reason why they were created and brought into existence, and the reason for the coming of the messengers and the sending of the revelation, the purpose of the creation of the Jannah and the Nar, and likewise the scriptures of the people, the records that will be displayed, and as well the reason why some will be happy and in bliss and felicity and safety and security, and others they will be in misery and great remorse and regret and in pain and agony and great punishment. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ the reason for these affairs, and that is to know that Allah, He created the creation in truth, and He did not create the creation in falsehood or in vain or without any purpose. So Allah, He created the creation in truth, meaning with great wisdom and great purpose, and that is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to draw near to Him in the manner prescribed by performing the commandments, hoping for His reward and seeking His pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala, and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions out of reverence for Allah and fear of His anger and His wrath tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the wisdom from the creation of the heavens and the earth, to be a trial likewise to test the people, because there's going to be an accountability with regards to that. So the main aim and purpose from the creation, what is intended from the jinn and the mankind, is to know Allah and to worship Him, to love Him and to obey Him, and to surrender to Him in humble obedience and willful submission in the manner that He has prescribed subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is intended for them is that they will be taken to account with regards to this. So many verses in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifying this affair. Because many of you were not present in the class this morning, we will review this affair before we move on, because this is of utmost importance to understand and to realize, to comprehend, and to know, and to make the proper preparation for this affair, to know what is your purpose in life, what are you doing here, what is the wisdom from the creation of the heavens and the earth, and likewise of life and death, and why there is good times and bad times, and some are healthy and strong, and others are sick and weak, and some live a long life, and others they die at a young age, and the likes like this. To know these affairs and to be certain with regards to them, this is the blessing and the favor, to know the proper and the sound creed with regards to the wisdom of the creation of the heavens and the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified this affair. He clarified this affair in a number of verses. From them, Allah, He says, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That it is Allah. Allah, He is the one who created the seven heavens and from the earth the likes thereof, and His command descends between them in order for you to know. So we pay attention here. The lam here, لِتَعْلَمُ. This lam is lam التَّعْلِيلِ, and it's indicating the purpose and the reason for the verb. The reason. So the reason for the creation of the heavens and the earth is this purpose here, لِتَعْلَمُ. أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So that you may know that Allah, He has the ability to do all things. And so that you may know with certainty that Allah has encompassed all things in knowledge. So the creation is created in order to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He created the creation so that He may be known. That's why it's called al-alamin, wal-alamun, from al-ilm. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's known by way of His creation. His creation are signs indicating His majesty and authority and command and His mercy and vast knowledge and wisdom, and that He has authority and power over all things, and nothing happens except with His permission. One, he will realize this by pondering over the creation around him and his very life and existence, and likewise he will realize as well that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, the one who has created and provided and sustained all of these things, and the one who is managing and disposing of the affairs of all of this creation. He's the one who's worthy of worship. He's the one who's worthy of worship. So this is the wisdom from the creation of the heavens and the earth, and this is clear in this noble verse. And likewise, Allah, He says, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me alone. Except to worship me alone. Again, the lamb has come. Lamb and ta'ril. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Except to worship me alone. So in the first verse we discussed, Allah, He created the seven heavens and from the earth the likes thereof. Allah is clarifying what He did. And He's clarifying the wisdom from that. The wisdom from that. He created so that you may know Him. He created the creation of the heavens and the earth so that you may know Him. In the verse in Dariyat, Allah, He says that He created the jinn and the mankind for no other purpose except for you to worship Him. So Allah created the jinn and mankind, and the wisdom and purpose from that is for you to worship Him alone. For you to worship Him alone. So therefore, a believer is created for these affairs here. And they come hand in hand. To know Allah and to worship Him. Because you cannot worship Allah if you do not know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you will surrender to Him. The more you know Him in the manner prescribed and the way that He has made Himself known in His revelation, in His book, in the noble Quran, and likewise by way of His noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the more you learn about His tawheed and about His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, the more you learn about His actions and His supreme wisdom and knowledge, and the more you learn about His authority and command, and the more you realize that nothing happens in this life or in this creation except according to His supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom and according to His decree and His will, and that we're slaves. And under His authority and under His command, and we cannot escape. And there's no way out except to flee to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no safety or security from Him except to Him. There's no safety or security from Him except to Him. This is what one will realize when pondering and reflecting more over the creation. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. You cannot hide. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. There's nowhere to go except to Him. سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ وَلَا مَلْجَى وَلَا مَنْجَى مِنْكَ إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ. All of these texts here clarifying this affair, that Allah, He's the Rabb. That Allah, He's the Rabb. Allah, He has the power and the authority and the command, and we're His slaves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, those who are successful, they realize that and they submit and they surrender. مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ يَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ أَخْلَفْ. The one who has more knowledge of Allah, he will fear Him even more. Fear Him and revere Him. وَكَانَ لِعِبَادَتِهِ أَقْلَبْ. And he will start to seek to draw near to Him in a greater manner. In a greater manner. He will start to seek nearness to Him by obeying Him and worshiping Him in a great way, according to his knowledge. وَعَنْ مَعَسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. And he will also avoid and stay away from the actions of disobedience out of reverence and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the fruit of knowledge. Whenever it's true, beneficial knowledge with a sincere and good intention, and a person who travels and traverses the proper path in learning, then that knowledge will cultivate khashya in his heart, and likewise mahabba. Mahabba wa khashya. Mahabbatullahi azza wa jal. Mahabbatullahi azza wa jal wa khashyatuhu. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise reverence and fear of Him. The love will carry a person to seek His pleasure by obeying Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the reverence and fear will drive a person to stay upright on the straight path and also protect him from falling off into disobedience. Often to disobedience. So this is from the wisdom of the creation and of the heavens and the earth. This is from the wisdom of the creation of the heavens and the earth. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarified as well. And He mentioned in His book, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The lamb is coming again. Allah is clarifying this in the clear, most eloquent Arabic language. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبَلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That indeed, we have made all that is on the earth as an adornment, a beautification, in order that we may try them, to test them who is best indeed. To test them who is best indeed. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says he didn't say to test them to see who does the biggest deed. لِنَبَلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَكْبَرُ عَمَلًا. To see who does the biggest deed, not to see who does the best deed, the deed that's done sincerely for the sake of Allah, wholeheartedly with a pure and true intention, and according to that which is pleasing to Allah, according to that which He has prescribed and legislated by way of His prophets and messengers, the final prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the wisdom from the beauty of this life and the adornment of this life is a test. أحسنوا عملا. And likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah, it is He who has created the death and the life in order to test you and to try you to see who is best indeed, to see who is best indeed, to see who does the best deed, the deed that is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the head of them, complying to the commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions upon sincere faith, knowledge and light. Sincere faith, knowledge, and light, with trust and reliance and love and fear and hope and devotion and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see that also from the wisdom of the beauty of this life and also the wisdom of the creation of life and death is to test you and to try you, is to test you and to try you, to test you and to try you. لِيَبْلُوَهُمْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test them, to test you. And to test the creation and to test you, mankind and the jinn, who is best indeed, who is best indeed. And with regards to this test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has provided the people with faculties. He has granted them the ability to hear, the ability to see, the ability to reflect. And He has also ingrained in them the fitrah, the ability to realize right and wrong and to know what is good and bad, to recognize that there's a creator and that He's worthy of worship, and to recognize likewise that lying is bad and being honest and truthful is good. This is ingrained in the human being. It's called the fitrah. This is al-Islam in general. To realize this affair, the virtues of honesty and truthfulness and the virtues of al-Tawheed and the likes like this, and the ills of lying and dishonesty and the ills of paganism and polytheism, this is something that's ingrained in the human being. That's ingrained in the human being. So Allah, He created the human being in this manner and granted him these abilities, and that's where the test lies. And that's where the test lies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. That indeed we have created the human being from the mixed semen, and the sperm of the mixed semen, the mixed fluid of a male and a female. And this is something that is well known. Allah created the human being from this affair. فَلِيَنْظُرْ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقْ خُلِقَ مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقْ يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. You understand that He's created, Allah created the human being from this fluid, from the sperm of a male, and this fluid, sperm, semen of a male and female. مِن مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ, the lowly fluid, the lowly fluid. And then that lowly fluid, it goes through stages. Allah, He mentioned them in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in more than one chapter. And more than one chapter goes through stages. That fluid, that lowly fluid, that despicable fluid, that if it's on you, you feel ashamed, you would not want anyone to see it. It goes through stages in the womb of a woman by the permission and the command of Allah until a human being is formed and a life is given to it. And then it comes out crying one moment, and the next moment it's happy. One time it's moving around, the next time it's sleeping, and the life's like this. Then it grows and it grows until it's thinking and speaking and talking. This is the creation of Allah. هَذَا خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِي. This is the creation of Allah. So therefore, show me what those whom they worship besides Allah have created. They have not created anything. So Allah alone, He's the one who's worthy of worship. Allah alone, He's the one who's worthy, is worthy of worship. And this worship, it lies here in this affair, in the trial and the test with the religious, religious duties and responsibilities, performing the commandments and avoiding staying away from the prohibitions. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. So which, in order to try him, so we had made him one who has the ability to hear and the ability to see, indicating that the trial that lies in these faculties here. Indicating that the trial that lies in these faculties here, and the ability to hear and the ability to see, and the hearing. And the vision is the pathway to the heart. And this is where the test lies. And this is where the test lies. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the authentic narration collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. Indeed, Allah, He does not look to your bodies, the shapes of your bodies. أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَسُوَّرِكُمْ. He doesn't look to your figures and the shapes of your bodies and your wealth. And your wealth, but He looks to your hearts and to your deeds. But He looks into your hearts and to your deeds. And this is the place of accountability. This is the place of accountability. So this is the test. It lies here with regards to the heart and the mind and the eyes and the ears and the emotions. And the emotions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned that the majority of mankind, they are not thankful and they do not use these faculties in a manner pleasing to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمَ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفِيدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. And he has made for you, Allah, he has made for you the faculty of hearing and seeing, and likewise the mind to reflect with, and how little thanks is it that you show. Meaning the majority of the people, they do not use these faculties in that which is lawful and that which is pleasing to Allah. Rather, they use these faculties and these favors and blessings to disobey him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to follow their desires. So this is the case here. But it does not go unquestioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will delay, but he will not neglect. يُمْهِلْ وَلَا يُهْمِلْ subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will delay the people, but he will not neglect them. Rather, there's going to be accountability. And also, this is from the wisdom of the creation and of the heavens and the earth. And this is the purpose. What is intended for the people, what will happen to the people, what's going to be the outcome, the result of this affair, of this creation and this test and the likes, is that Allah, he will cause the creation to go away and bring a new creation and bring the people back to life and take them to account. And he mentioned in his book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. And that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah, خَلْقًا وَمُلْكًا subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who created it and brought it into existence. He's the one who gave everything in shape and form. And it belongs to him. It's under his authority. It's under his command, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here again, the lamb came. Huh? What is the wisdom from that? لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. In order to recompense those who do evil according to their deeds, and to recompense those who do good with the best. So again here, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And the heavens and the earth, all of them belong to Allah. He created them, and he provide for them and sustain them, and they're under his authority and command. And from the wisdom of that, لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا. In order to recompense those who do evil with according to their deeds, وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. And to recompense those who do good with the best. From the descriptions of those who do good, those whom they recompense will be from the best reward from their Lord. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا لَمَا. They are those who have witnessed, stay away from the major sins, except for the minor sins. Meaning maybe they fall into minor sins and they slip here and there, but they rush to repentance and they strive to avoid the major affairs that they have been forbidden from. The major sins, they strive to avoid and stay away from them. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Indeed, your Lord, he has vast mercy. Vast mercy. So this is all from the wisdom of the heavens and the earth. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in this affair, the author, he mentioned the verse of Al-Jafiyah. وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَلِتُجَزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And Allah, he created the heavens and the earth in truth. And the lamb comes again. لِتُجَزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. In order for every soul to be recompensed according to what it earned. According to what it earned. So Allah, he created the heavens and the earth in truth. In truth and with truth. And that is in order to recompense every soul according to what he has earned. And that they will not be oppressed or dealt with unjustly whatsoever. They'll not be oppressed or dealt with unjustly whatsoever. So this is the aim and the purpose and goal from the people, from mankind and from the jinn, that they will know Allah and worship him. This is what is required from them. And what is intended for them is that they will be taken to account with regards to that. You understand? This is the summary of the affair. So from here, now we, inshallah, understand the tafsir of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me alone. He said, إِلَّا لِأَمُرَهُمْ بِإِبَادَتِي. Except that I will order them to worship me. I did not create the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. He said, rahimahullah, except that I will order them to worship me. وَأَبْتَلِيهِمْ. And I will try them. I will test them. أَيْ أَخْتَبِرُهُمْ بِالتَّكَالِيفِ. Meaning I will test them and try them with religious duties and responsibilities. ثُمَّ أُجَازِيهِمْ عَلَى عَمَالِهِمْ, and then I'll recompense them according to their deeds. فَإِنْ خَيْرٌ فَخَيْرٌ وَإِنْ شَرٌ فَشَرٌ. Whoever has good, he will have a good reward, and whoever works evil, he will have an evil reward accordingly. So this tafsir here is summarizing all these verses that we're discussing. Many different verses mentioning the wisdom from the creation of the heavens and the earth, life and death, jinn and mankind. One time it's mentioned so that Allah will be known. One time it's mentioned so that they will worship Him. Another time it's mentioned that so in order to try them to see who is best indeed. Another in order to recompense them and take them to account. So understanding all these verses in this light here, now we see this tafsir. This is the purpose and the wisdom from the creation. This is the aqidah safiyah. This is the creed. We were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Ar-Rab. He is Ar-Rab wa nahnu abiduhu. And we are His slaves. We are His creation. We are under His authority. We are under His command. We cannot escape His decree. We will return back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He knows what we will do. And it's all written with Him before He has created the creation. But we do not know what we will do. And He knows whom He will show mercy, and He knows whom He will punish. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatan. Alaysa Allahu a'lama bishakirin. Allah, He knows best who is grateful. He knows best who is rightful for guidance and who is not. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we do not know. But we have been sent guidance and light from the prophets and messengers, and we have been informed that there's a path that leads to His pleasure, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and there are paths that lead to His anger, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this has been made clear for us. This has been made clear for us. You understand that? Yani the najdain, the two paths, imma kafiran wa imma shakura, either ungrateful or either grateful. The pathways have been made clear, and we have been given the ability to think and to reflect, and the ability to choose and to desire. So a person, he's tried in this life with his desires, and he has to strive against his soul to desire that which is pleasing to Allah over his own desires and whims, and to prefer the love of Allah over the love of his soul and the love of all of mankind. He must prefer the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the test that lies here. And the test, it lies here. And the accountability, it lies here. And in the end, the outcome based upon this test and this examination, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. There will be a group who's in the paradise, and there will be a group who's in the fire. The reality of this group who are in the paradise, they're the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The believers, the true believers, those whom Allah loves, and He guided them from His grace and from His mercy, and He gave them success to know Him and to love Him and to worship Him. And they perform the actions and deeds that are pleasing to Allah by His grace and in His mercy until their souls are taken in that manner. And thus they will be from the people of paradise. And then there are others who do not have that mercy, nor do they have that grace. وَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And Allah, He's not oppressive whatsoever, unjust in any manner to His slaves. And Allah, He guides whom He wills from His grace, and He leads astray whom He wills from His justice. And these other group, they're from the people of misery. They're from the losers. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And they are people who will be left to their desires. And they'll be deceived by this worldly life, and they'll follow the footsteps of the devil. And they will not be able to take their eyes off the earth, and they will not aspire for the highs and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They will not work for the hereafter. They'll work for this life. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِرُونَ. They have great knowledge about this worldly life, about this transient life, about this physical life. They have much knowledge about the economics and about technology and about the economy and about this one and about that one. They have all this vast knowledge of the worldly life. But as for the hereafter, they're heedless. And they'll be left to their desires, and they'll be left to their whims, and they'll wander in this manner until death comes to them, and they'll be taken in this miserable state. And these are the people of the fire. So this is what has come to us from the revelation. This is the summary and the essence of this affair. So now that it has reached you, now you must choose. Which path do you want? Which path do you want? You want to be from the people of paradise, or do you want to be from the people of the fire? Anyone in his right mind, he would say, I want to be from the people of the paradise. Are you crazy? Right? But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified this in the most beautiful narration in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Kullu ummati yadkhulul jannah illa man aba. All of my ummah went to paradise, except for those who refuse. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is from those terms that has two understandings. It could be understood in two different lights, according to the context. And even sometimes,
And even in some context, both meanings could be understood and have a ruling or a judgment derived from them. Like in this narration here, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. All of my ummah went to paradise except for those who refuse. So the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is two types. Ummah al-da'wah wa ummah al-istijabah. Ummah al-da'wah wa ummah al-istijabah. And like this every prophet. And like this every prophet. Every prophet is sent to a nation. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. Every nation, a messenger has come to them. So every prophet, he came to his people. And from his people, there are those who belied him and denied him and rebelled against him and did not follow him. And they're the losers. And they're the losers. They're from his nation. They're from his people, but they did not follow him. They did not follow him. They did not believe in him. So they rebelled and they rejected him. And they rejected faith in this manner. And they're from the people of the fire of those days. Of those days. And then there is a group from them that Allah chose and favored them. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. He began with his affairs. Remember this. Then there are those whom Allah, he chose for guidance from those nations. And they believed in that prophet and messenger and they followed him. So the ummah of da'wah, and the ummah of propagation, that the call of that prophet is directed to all of his people. The wide end of it, to all of his people at that time. To all of his people at that time. You understand that? And then those who respond to that call, ummah al-istijabah, they're the Muslims. They're the Muslims of that day. They're the Muslims, the believers of that day. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has ummatu al-da'wah, ummatu wa ummatu al-istijabah. Ummatu al-da'wah, the jinn and mankind, all of them until the day of resurrection. The jinn and mankind, all of them until the day of resurrection. Ya ayyuhan nas, inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. O mankind, I'm the messenger of Allah to all of you, all together. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan li al-alameen. I did not send you except as a mercy to all mankind. So the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for all mankind. So after the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all mankind and jinn likewise are from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're required to believe in him and follow him and to obey him and to love him more than they love themselves and their children and their family for the sake of Allah. This is their requirement. This is their requirement. Some were given success to do that and some are not. Those who are given success to do that, they go from being the general ummah of da'wah to ummah al-istijabah. Al-ladhina istajabu lillahi wa li rasulihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who responded to Allah, to the call of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we go back to the narration, based on this understanding now, the first aspect, kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah illa man aba. All of my ummah went to paradise except for those who refuse. If we're talking about ummah al-da'wah, except for those who refuse, any meaning absolutely. They would, all of the mankind went to paradise except for those who refuse. They refuse absolutely to enter paradise. They refuse absolutely to enter paradise. Who are they? Those who refused to accept the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand? They refuse to accept the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the messenger he referred to. And another narration collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلِدِ نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ وَلِدِ نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِأَحَدٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُودِيٌّ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيٌّ ثُمَّ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِن بِالَّذِي جِئْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand that there is no one who hears about me from this ummah, not a Jew nor a Christian. And then he died and did not believe in what I came with, except for he's from the dwellers of the hellfire. Except for he's from the dwellers of the hellfire. I mean, those who abide in the hellfire will never get out. You understand that? So the Jews and Christians, they're from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which ummah? The ummah al-da'wah. If they respond, now they're from the ummah al-istijabah. وَمِنْ أَحْلِ كِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَحْسُدُونَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَيُسَارِعُونَ الْخَيْرَاتِ أُولَئِكَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. That's the righteous from the Jews and Christians, from the Ummah of Muhammad, who believed in him and followed him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us from them. May Allah make us from them. أُولَئِكَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. They're from the righteous. They're from the righteous. So they accepted the call and they followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they didn't refuse. As for those who refused, then there are those from the ummah who rejected faith and denied the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قالوا يا رسول الله ومن يأبى. قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. They said, O Messenger of Allah, but who would refuse? They said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but who would refuse? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever obeys me, then indeed he will enter paradise. And whoever disobeys me, then indeed he has refused. He has refused. So if we're referring to the ummah of Da'w, what does it mean, whoever obeys me? Whoever obeys me. And the fundamental call, Ya qawmi, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. This is the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya qawmi, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Oh my people, say la ilaha illallah, you will be successful. The call to tawheed. The call to this first affair here. The call to this first affair here. In this manner, if they answer that call and they obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the foundation of the religion, now they're from the ummah of al-istijabah. And now they're promised paradise. You understand? They're promised paradise and they're promised safety and savior from the fire. But the promise of paradise, although it's established, and the safety from the fire, although established, there is details there. So there is a safety from the hellfire, absolutely, and there's safety from abiding in the hellfire for eternity. This is what the believers are promised. The ummah of al-istijabah, al-ummah, yani al-ta'ifa al-najiyah, al-ta'ifa al-najiyah, al-najat, النجات تكون من النار والنجات تكون من الخلود فيها. There's two aspects of najat. There's two aspects of safety and savior. You understand that? There are some who will be safe from the fire entirely. They will not even hear it whatsoever. They will not hear it or enter it whatsoever. لا يسمعون حسيسها. You understand that? This is the successful. But then there are others who will be tried by it, but they're safe from abiding in there for eternity. They're safe from abiding there in eternity. This is by responding to the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand that? So those who are from the ummah of Muhammad, ummah ad-da'wah, and they refuse to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fundamental call to la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, to establish the minimum requirements of that, to become a Muslim, and enter to the fold of that Islam. They refuse that, then they will be from the people of the hellfire. إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُودِيٌّ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيٌّ ثُمَّ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِالَّذِي جِئْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ This is those people here. So this is the interpretation of this narration based upon the understanding of Ummah al-Da'wah. We understand that? Also, it's understood in another light as well. Ummah al-Istijabah. كُلُّ أُمَّةِ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ أبى قالوا ومن يأبى يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى فقد أبى. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, all of my ummah will enter into the paradise except for those who refuse. Well, who would refuse? O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, those who obey me, they will enter paradise, and those who disobey me, then they have refused. Based upon this understanding and the principles that we know with regards to the creed that every Muslim, he's promised paradise, just as we have discussed. But those who disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're exposing themselves to the anger of Allah. And they're refusing to enter paradise in honor without any punishment and to be safe entirely from the fire. That's what they're refusing. By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by violating the rights, by falling short and performing the commandments, or by transgressing the limits and falling into that which is falling into disobedience and performing and committing sins and that which is forbidden and displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and in this manner a person he's refusing to enter Jannah with those who enter with honor without any punishment or any reckoning. Without any punishment or any reckoning. They say here in America, actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. We all say we want to go to Jannah, but not all of us testify to that. But not all of our actions testify to what we claim. Testify to what we claim. And this is going back to the strength of our love that we're tested and tried with. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent as the trial and the test. The trial and the test to clarify who is sincere and truthful in their claim for love. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordered to say, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, fattabi'uni you have been from Allah. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you. And then Allah will love you. So this is the trial, and this is the test, and this is the wisdom from this affair, and this is the outcome that we're facing, and there's no escape. So there's nothing for you to do except to surrender and to submit, to be a Muslim. كل نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون وإلينا ترجعون وإلينا ترجعون. That every soul is going to taste death, and we test you and we try you with شر فتنة, يعني with سيئات وحسنات, with good times and bad times, with hardship and adversity, and with health and wealth and prosperity. فتنة, don't be deceived. فتنة, it's a test. Hardship, trials, and adversity, sickness, and loss of loved one, and the life like this, and the loss of loved one and wealth, the loss of loved ones and wealth, and the life like this, this is a trial and a test. And likewise, health and wealth, and well-being, strong mind, and cleverness, and the ability to move and freely, and the life like this, joints that work very well, and a person can get up and move properly, take care of his business, so on and so forth, and he has money, he has the ability, he's not hindered, he's not stopped, he can go out and work, he can go out and do things, he can make calls, he can make texts, all of these affairs, don't be deceived. This is a test. This is a test. This is a trial. Allah, he mentioned in his book, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, inna wa'adallahi haq. Indeed, the promise of Allah is true. The promise that he will bring you back to life and take you to account. The result of this affair, from the wisdom of what you're created for, to be taken to account and to be judged according to your deeds. Inna wa'adallahi haq. Fala tughrannakum alhayatu ad-dunya wa la yughrannakum billahi al-gharur. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. These verses are so beautiful whenever you learn the creed of Tawheed, you learn the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah with regards to these affairs, and then you ponder and reflect over the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, they will enter your heart and cause it to erupt, to break down, and to break down out of reverence and fear and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O mankind, indeed the promise of Allah is true. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna wa'adallahi haq. Therefore, do not be deceived by this worldly life. فَلَا تُغْرَنَّكُمْ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغْرَنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Do not let the chief deceiver deceive you. Do not let the devil trick you to fall into his whispers and to be negligent and heedless with regards to your religion. Feeling like you're going to live forever and you can follow your desires and you can disrespect the commandments and prohibitions like they're nothing, and Allah is going to be kind and merciful to you. That's not the right way. That's not the right understanding. That's not the right understanding. Whether Allah, he is wise in his actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's just likewise. And those who work hard and strive against their soul to please Allah are not like those who follow their desires. They're not like those who follow their desires. The righteous are not like the wicked, and the night is not like the day. And the outcome is not going to be the same. The outcome is not going to be the same. Those who are truthful and honest are not like those who are liars. Those who die upon the straight path are not like those who die upon sin and transgression. Those who strive upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not like those who are engulfed in innovation and ignorance. They're not the same. And in the outcome, they're not going to be the same. Allah did not create the creation in falsehood or a joke or a play or without any purpose. It's not from wisdom that the truthful will be treated like the wicked and that the sinners will be honored like the obedient. It's not from wisdom. It's not from wisdom. Wallahu al-Hakim. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the people, they're going to be taken to account. So don't be deceived by the glitter of this worldly life. Inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha. Linabluwakum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. This is the test here. Fala tughrannakum al-hayatu dunya wa la yughrannakum billahi al-gharur. And likewise, Allah, he says after that, immediately, inna shaytana lakum aduun. Fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Indeed, the devil, he's an enemy to you. So you must treat him like an enemy. So many people, they treat the devil like a friend. They take allies with him. Their allies, awliya' al-shaytan, waliyadu billah. Awliya' al-shaytan, waliyadu billah. They obey him and listen to him. And they entertain his thoughts and whispers. And they follow him. And they follow him in disobedience to Ar-Rahman. In disobedience to Ar-Rahman, waliyadu billah. And this is the one who is a loser. As for those who are sincere and truthful and obedient to Ar-Rahman, then he will protect them. He will protect them and he will guide them. He will bless them and he will aid them, and he will facilitate for them to do good, and he will make it easy for them to repent and to hold fast to his obedience by his grace and his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the Rabb. He's the Rabb. So from here we see, barakallahu fikum, that Ar-Rabb, tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is from the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal. And many of the supplications in the Quran, they come with this term here, with this name here.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbi, Rabbi, like this, Rabbi, Rabbik fili, Rabbana filana, like that many times, especially in the supplications of the prophets and messengers, alayhim salatu wasalam, in the Quran. Many of them, they begin in this manner with calling on the Rabb. Calling on the Rabb. And likewise in the Sunnah of the Prophet as well, many times. Although there's some other supplications calling on Allah by another name from His beautiful names. And no doubt that's allowed. But the point now is to realize this affair. Many of the Quranic supplications, many of those specifically from the Prophets and Messengers, they begin by calling on Rabb. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this beautiful name, Rabb, derived from it is the sifa of Rububiyyah. Derived from it is the sifa, the attribute of Rububiyyah. So from the attribute of Rabb is a Rububiyyah, meaning He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer, the one who gives life and the one who gives death, the one who the authority is in His command, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who raises, He's the one who lowers, He's the one who honors, and He's the one who disgraces, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's the one who causes the night to enter the day, and the day to enter the night. He's the one who causes the rain to fall from the sky. He's the one who brings life from the dead and dead to the life. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who has authority over these commands. He's the Rabb. This is His Rububiyyah. This is His Rububiyyah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand this? This is called a Rububiyyah al-Amma. A Rububiyyah al-Amma. The general Rububiyyah. The general Lordship. That Allah, He's Rabbul Alameen. Wa kullu ma siwa Allahi Alam, and everything besides Allah is the Alam. So Allah is the Rabb of all things. And His Rububiyyah is encompassing all things. Everything in the creation is created by Allah, brought into existence by Allah. He is the Rabb, and that thing is the Marbub, and provided and sustained by the Rabb. So His Rububiyyah is Amma, encompassing all things. Encompassing all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand this. But then likewise, there's also from that beautiful attribute, a Rububiyyah al-Khasa. The specific, the special Rububiyyah. The special Rububiyyah. Rububiyyah, yani yurabbi biha subhanahu wa ta'ala awliya'ah. He guides and He cultivates those whom He loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's the jinn Rububiyyah encompassing the entire creation, and all of them are under this authority and command. And Allah, He's the Rabb of all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then there's a special aspect of the Rububiyyah that He has reserved for His believing slaves. And this is the Rububiyyah. He cultivates them and He raises them and he guides them and He blesses them and he favors them and directs them. This is the Rububiyyah for the believers. This is the Rububiyyah for the believers. You understand that? This is special. Not all the creation has this. Allah, He's the Lord of all of the creation. Wallahu yad'u ila dar as-salam wa yahdi man yasha'u ila siratim. Allah, He calls all to the dar as-salam, and He's the Lord of all, but He only guides whom He wills to the straight path. Because He's the Rabb, and He does what He wills. يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ يُعِزُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُذِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has authority and command. He has special Rububiyyah. He has a special aspect of Rububiyyah for His slaves and servants that He loves. And He cultivates them and He raises them in a manner that's beneficial for them in this life and the hereafter. So the Rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jalla is two types, Amma wa Khasa, general and specific. Do you understand this? Allah is Rabbul Alameen. This is the jinn Rububiyyah. This is the jinn Rububiyyah. But there's the specific Rububiyyah that Allah, He cultivates and He raises and He guides and He protects and He aids and He grants success to ibadihi al-mu'mineen, for His believing slaves. And Allah knows best. This is the wisdom from the prophets and messengers calling on Rabb with this name. Calling on Rabb with this name. Oh Rabb, You're my Lord. You might help me. Guide me, protect me. It's in Your hands. I'm Your slave. I'm Your creation. Don't leave me to myself. Don't leave me to my whims. Don't leave me to my desires. Help me against my enemies. Protect me against my whims. Do not let me fall victim to my souls. Protect me against the devil. A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. You seek refuge with the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's the one who blesses whom He wills and protects whom He wills, those whom He loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand that? So from here, likewise, we see that ar-rububiyyah sifatu ar-rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Ar-rububiyyah sifatu ar-rabb. Ar-Rububiyyah is the attribute of the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's two types, general, encompassing the whole creation, and specific for the believers, those whom Allah loves. This is clear? So this is the attribute of the Creator, tabaraka wa ta'ala, Ar-Rububiyyah. He has many beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. From His attributes of perfection, the attribute of Rububiyyah. Now we understand
that attribute from one aspect is general, encompassing the whole creation, Rabbul Alameen, and another aspect is specific, guiding and directing and raising the believers with sincere and true faith, and blessing them and bestowing upon them beneficial knowledge, and guiding them and granting them success to implement that knowledge and to prefer it, and protecting them from their own desires and whims, and the people and the devils and the jinn. This is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Rabb, tabaraka wa ta'ala, for his awliya. So from here we see that there's the Rabb, and then there is the abd. The abd. So the same thing. The word abd, it has an attribute derived from that word. What is that? Huh? Al-ubudiyya. Adam, you said that. Who said that? Ahmed. Abu Abdullah. Al-ubudiyya. The attribute is al-ubudiyya. The attribute that's derived from al-Rabb is al-rububiyya. The attribute that's derived from the word al-abd is al-ubudiyya. So just like al-rububiyya is general and specific, al-ubudiyya is general and specific. So there's al-ubudiyya li-rububiyyatihi, and there's al-ubudiyya li-uluhiyyatihi, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's ubudiyya. Ubudiyya means servitude. The word abd, what does it mean? Linguistically, the word abd, anyone who is an Arab, he spoke the Arabic language his whole life. In English, what does abd mean? Abd. Servant, slave. It means a slave. It means a slave. Abdu fulan, and he's a slave. The abid. Abid fulan, yani that means his slave. Means, what does the word abd mean? Linguistically, it means mamluk. It means a person, he's owned by another person. A man who's owned by another man. That's his property. That's an abd. It's called a slave. You understand that? And al-ubudiyya is slavery, servitude. Slavery and servitude. This is the linguistic meaning. You understand that? Al-ubudiyya, the attribute of the abd, and linguistically is slavery or servitude. This is clear? So the ubudiyya is two types. Ubudiyyatun amma wa ubudiyyatun khas. Ubudiyyatun amma, there's a general ubudiyya that all of the creation is included under. All of the creation is included in this ubudiyya, servitude and slaves, servitude, and are slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In kullu man fi samawati wal ardi illa ati ar-rahmani. This is al-ubudiyya, al-amma, general encompassing servitude. So the ubudiyya, the servitude, is of two types. Ubudiyya amma and ubudiyya khas. The ubudiyya amma, the general encompassing servitude, this includes all of creation. All of creation are slaves to Allah. And this is what Allah referred to in his statement in Surah Maryam. In kullu man fi samawati wal ardi illa ati ar-rahmani abda. There's nothing in the heavens and the earth except it comes to Ar-Rahman as a slave. As a slave. And he means it's under the command of Allah and his decree. It cannot escape his authority, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the creation. All of the creation in this manner is an abd to Allah. Ubudiyya amma. Ubudiyya amma. Do you understand that? And this is the ubudiyya li rububiyyatihi. Because he's the Rabb al-Alameen. He's the Rabb of all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala, so all things are slaves to him, in servitude and under his authority, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand this? And then there is al-ubudiyya al-khasa. There's the specific ubudiyya. And this one is with regards to love and obedience. Humble, willful submission and surrender to Allah by performing his commandments and avoiding and staying away from his prohibitions out of sincere love, reverence, and trust and reliance upon him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is for the believing slaves. So this is what Allah is referring to whenever he says, Ibadur Rahman alladhina yamshuna ala ardi hawna. He's not talking about the general ubudiyya. He's not talking about all of the slaves. No, this is the special slaves. Ibadur Rahman. Ibadur Rahman. And likewise, whenever Allah says, In kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala abdina. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. This is the special ubudiyya that's being referred to here. Not the general ubudiyya. This is praise. This is praise at the highest level. Ibadur Rahman alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna wa idha khatabahum al-jahiluna qalu salama. To the end of the verse, this is all praise. Praising them. Praising them for what? Praising them for their ubudiyya. for their ubudiyah that Allah favored them with. Allah favored them with this ubudiyah and blessed them with this ubudiyah and then praised them for it because He's so kind and merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand that? So the ubudiyah is two aspects. One of them is in general and it just encompasses the entire creation. The other one is specific, and this is for those who believe and those who are righteous. And the more one devotes himself to Allah in ubudiyah, the higher he will raise. The higher he will raise, the greater his status will be, and the closer he will be to Allah, and the greater share of mercy and guidance he would obtain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise, according to how much he strives in establishing this ubudiyah. In establishing this ubudiyah. So the word abd, sometimes it could be used to mean the slave, and it could be used in a derogatory manner. For example, ta'isa abdu dirham, ta'isa abdu dinar, may the slave of the dinar and dirham, may he be destroyed. May he be destroyed. Ta'isa abdul khamisa, the slave to the garment, the slave to the garment, meaning that the money, the dinar and the dirham, meaning the dollar, and likewise the garments, they make him happy and make him sad. If he gets what he wants, they move him, they drive him. He moves for a dollar, and he moves for a dollar. He cries for a dollar. He's happy when he has a dollar, or when his clothes are fashion and the likes like this. He's a slave to the sphere. He bases his love and his enmity and his happiness and sadness on these issues here. So he's a slave. So it's like he's a slave. So the word abd sometimes is used in this derogatory manner. This is not praiseworthy to be the abd, abd dinar, abd dirham. This is not praiseworthy. This is blameworthy. We understand this. This is understandable. But whenever it said Abdullah, right now this is praiseworthy. This is the peak of praise. This is the peak of praise. So the word abd sometimes is used to refer to the raqiq, the mamluk. And the word abd sometimes is used to refer to the abid, to the mu'min, to the sadiq, to the qanit, to the muti'a, to the qanit. You understand? One time it's used to refer to a slave, the one who's owned by something or captivated by something. And another time it's used to refer to the worshipper, the one who is sincere and truthful, the one who is devout. But both of them are called abd. But this one is abdun al-rububiyyah, and this one is abdun al-uluhiyyah. This one is abdun al-ubudiyyah amma, and this one is abdun al-ubudiyyah al-khasa. Do you understand? All of them are slaves. This one is a slave in the general aspect, or this one is a slave to his desires, or to his whims, or to the devil, or to the dollar, or to the fashion. This one is a slave to Allah. So the people of knowledge, they say, al-ridafatu tufidu al-takhsis. That al-ridafa, whenever something is ascribed to something, this indicates that it's become specific. So whenever you ascribe, for example, abd al-dular, the slave of the dollar, this is understood in that light. This is blameworthy. But whatever you say, Abdul Rahman, the slave of Ar-Rahman, this is praiseworthy. This is praiseworthy. So the best thing a person could be in this life is a slave to Ar-Rahman. Ibad Ar-Rahman. Illa Ibad Allahi al-Mukhlasin. Right? This is the praiseworthy aspect. So one word could be used in one sentence and it's intended in a blameworthy aspect. And that same word could be used in another sentence and it's used and it's intended from that a praiseworthy aspect. You understand that? So to say the slave of the dinar or the slave of the dirham or the slave to desires and whims or to slave to women or the slave to fashion, this is blameworthy. But to say the slave of Allah, the slave of Ar-Rahman, this is praiseworthy, rather the peak of praise. The peak of praise. And whenever Allah, He's praising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the greatest places in his book, and he referring to the greatest things that occurred, like the coming of the revelation, the sending of the book, raising to the heavens on the night of Al-Isra and the likes of this, he called him by that name, slave. And whenever they went to extremes in praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do not do that. Do not. That tutruni kama atata nasara Isa ibn Maryam. Innama ana abdullahi wa rasuluhu faqulu Abdullahi wa Rasul. Do not go to extremes in praising me like the Christians did the son of Maryam. I'm only the slave of Allah and His Messenger. So call me the slave of Allah and His Messenger. So there's no blame in saying the slave of Allah. And there's nothing wrong with saying the slave of Allah. And the word slave could be used in a derogatory sense and it could be used in a praiseworthy sense. Do you understand that? This is something that's very clear because the ubudiyah is two aspects. The ubudiyah amma, the ubudiyah dirububiyatillah, and the ubudiyyah al-khasa, al-ubudiyyah li-uluhiyyati Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one is praiseworthy. And Allah, He praised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner. So if you say abd in this sense, it's blameworthy. If you say abd in that sense, it's praiseworthy. Same thing if you say slave, which abd means in English, in this sense, it's blameworthy. If you say slave, and which abd means in English, in this sense, it's praiseworthy. You understand this? I hope this is very clear for you. So the author, he says now, ma ma'na al-abd? This is the question he says. What is the meaning of al-abd? What is the meaning of abd, servant? He says, al-abdu in urida bihi al-mu'abbad, ay al-mudhal al-musakhar, fahuwa bihad al-ma'na shamilun lijami' al-makhluqat min al-awalim al-urwiyya wa-sufriya, min aqilin wa ghayrihi, wa ratbin wa yabisin, wa mutaharrikin wa sakinin, wa zahirin wa kaminin, wa mu'minin wa kafirin, wa barrin wa fajir, wa ghayri thalika. Al-kullu makhluqun lillahi azza wa jal, marbubun lahu, musakharun bitaskhirihi, mudabbarun bitadbirihi. Wa likullin minha rasmun yakifu alayhi, wa haddun yantahi ilayhi. Kullun yajri li ajrin musamma, la yatajawazuhu mithkhala dharratin, thalika takdirul azizi al-alim, wa tadbir Al-Adri al-Hakim. If what is meant by the servant is al-Mu'abbad, al-Mu'abbad, yani al-Ubudiyya, al-Amma, that is the one who is humbled and subjected, then this meaning includes all created things from the upper and lower worlds, and rational and irrational, the moist and the dry, the mobile and the still, and the visible and the hidden, the believer and the disbeliever, the righteous and the wicked, and others. All of them are considered abd. Yani meaning mu'abbid, meaning they're subjected to the command of Allah and under His authority and cannot escape His power and control. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're all from the creation of Allah. This is clear. This is one aspect of the word. Abd. This is al-ubudiyya, al-amma. Al-ubudiyya, lil-rububiyya. This is clear. Alhamdulillah. Then he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, all of them are created by Allah, sustained by Him, subjected by His will, governed by His decree. Each of them has a set limit and boundary. Each runs its course for an appointed term, which it cannot exceed by even an atom's weight. This is clear. Yes, a slave. And kullu ma fi samawati wal ardi illa ati rahmani abda. This is what he's referring to here. This aspect of al-ubudiyyah. That is the decree of the Almighty, the All-Knowing, and all of this is under the arrangement and under the arrangement of the Just and All-Wise. وَإِنْ أُرِيدَ بِهِ الْعَابِدِ الْمُحِبِّ الْمُتَذَلِّلِ خُصَّ ذَلِكَ بِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عِبَادُهُ الْمُقْرَمُونَ وَأَوْلِيَاؤُهُ الْمُتَّقُونَ الَّذِينَ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. But if what is meant by the word abd, the servant, the slave, is the worshipper, the loving, humbled one, then this is exclusive to the believers, those honored servants of his and his pious allies, upon whom there shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. There shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. And this is the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word abd, it means slave. And there's ubudiyya, servitude to the rububiyya of Allah, which includes the entire creation. All of the creation is the abd from this sense. And then there is a specific aspect of ubudiyya, and that is for the believers. And that is based upon love and sincere and true faith and humble submission and willful obedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a praiseworthy, the peak of praise. And this is the wisdom of creation. And this is the test and what divides and separates the people. All of the people are slaves of Allah azza wa jalla to His rububiyya. But it's the winners and the successful who are willful and obedient slaves to His uluhiyyah. And they single Him out and worship Him alone in humble obedience and submission, complying to His commandments, hoping for His reward, and avoiding and staying away from His prohibitions, fearing and revering Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.